Welcome to the Full Tracy video audio commentary for December 15th, and it is 1:35 Pacific Standard Time. And this is a day in which there were a number of markets where there was some really quite profound volatility. And the euro in particular will have been making headlines. It has broken the 105 level, and it has done that in a rather dynamic fashion, although I think the bulls might be seeing that it has bounced off the low, but certainly held the majority of the gain overall. And when we look at it over the last few years, then that 105 area has offered support on three separate occasions, and it is now failing. When we look at it over the last 20 years, then we can see that there is nothing magical about the 105 level, that the price has paused at parity on occasion, and certainly with 105 having been now penetrated, that people will be looking at the first big psychological level of parity. But realistically, is there any real question as to whether the EU is go or the Eurozone is going to be raising rates anytime soon? There is no question. In fact, they may be forced into additional stimulative measures as a result of as yet unknown political repercussions of what has been almost a decade of austerity. And I don't think that that is something that the apparatchiks in Brussels have yet really comprehended, that their actions to impose austerity in the middle of what is about as close to a depression environment for the periphery of the Eurozone, it has really resulted in massive disaffection with the entire project. So we're going to hear from the electorates of France, the Netherlands, and Germany next year, and we've already heard from the electorate in Italy. So there's a lot to that could potentially happen, and there is absolutely no reason for why the euro should be any firmer, and not least when there is the potential that they may eventually come to their senses and begin to contemplate that perhaps the austerity route was not the best course of action, and they may go the fiscal stimulative route. That could potentially push up interest rates. It would certainly help with inflation, which of course is the ECB's only clearly defined mandate. But certainly until we see something like that, then we can anticipate downward pressure on the euro. And because you have this downward pressure on the euro, then you're getting some upward pressure on stock markets in nominal terms. The Euro Stoxx index had broken out last week, anticipating the decline in the euro. It is rising just as the euro is declining, and that is something that was we've seen examples of before. We saw it in the exact same index back in late 2014 and early 2015. We've seen it in Japan. If we look at the Nikkei, then we can look at it over the last 10 years, and we're presented with, or even the last 5 years, we're presented with two very separate breakouts from well-defined ranges that were associated with currency devaluation. The first was at the end of 2012 and persisted all the way through the first quarter of 2013, and we're seeing one right now. The Nikkei has been rising at about just the same pace at which the yen has been declining, and here we're seeing it as the dollar rallying in a rather spectacular fashion against the yen overall. Japanese government bond yields are still trading above zero. But perhaps the biggest news in here today was for Chinese bonds. And this is about as much history as we have. It's a very short time period because there weren't any government bonds until March of 2015. But we have had concerted selling pressure in the last few days. And part of the reason for that is that the government bond futures market is affected by the same speculative manias, both in and out of prices, that the stock market is prone to, and indeed the currency market is prone to. It is heavily dominated, at least on the margins, by individual investors, and there have been rumors flying about various fund managers potentially going bust or missing bond payments. So there has been a flight to quality. Excuse me, there has been a flight out of quality, and there isn't anything that could really be described as quality in terms of that trade, for the simple reason that people are just moving in and moving out in very, very quick fashions. It is going to require some form of government assistance in order to really stem the selling pressure overall. And when we look at the Chinese 10-year bond yield, then we can see quite clearly that the yield had been trending lower from early 2014, that it was at 4.6% at the end of 2013. It got down to 2.6%, so a 200 basis point compression. But that downtrend has now very clearly been broken. So yes, there is an oversold condition on that price chart that we had just looked at, but the bigger picture is that the medium-term downtrend in yields has been broken. The run-up in yields that we're seeing in the USA is having a rather profound effect on the rest of the world. The potential for someone to capture 2.6% as of today on the US 10-year puts upward pressure on just about everything else. And I'm going to show you the chart of the Australian spread over US Treasuries, and I had prepared it earlier. And what we have is that this spread is taking rather a long time to load, but it has contracted for over 5 years already. That there was a 260 basis point spread in 2010, and there is a 29 basis point spread today. But what we are also seeing now is that Australian interest rates are at their lowest in a long time, I think 1.5%, and US interest rates are rising. Australia is going to have a hard time raising interest rates, at least by the RBA. They had a contracting economy in the third quarter, and the uncertainty with regard to China is something that cannot simply be dismissed. China is both a destination for significant quantities of Australia's resources exports, and Australia is a destination for some of the flows that are coming out of China, and that is the real safe haven trade in China. Not only, not particularly to invest in government bonds, but to invest in anything but government bonds and to try and get money out of the country. And one of the avenues, and certainly an avenue that is gaining in increasing scrutiny, is Bitcoin. It is a really rather simple way for Chinese investors to get their money outside the country, and it is at a new recovery high. And that is quite different to what we're seeing in the gold market. Gold prices accelerated lower in here today, and they were down almost, I'm going to get the exact figure down, almost $15. This is an extension of what has been a steep but consistent decline over the last 6 weeks. It is oversold in the short term, but again, it is that progression of lower rally highs that needs to be broken in order to really confirm that demand is back in the driver's seat. And silver is, well, characteristically volatile, but these have been swinging pullbacks. And since early October, we have had three very sharp, clear downward dynamics, and they have in a single day unwound the previous month's advance, and we saw another one in here today. Now, what we're going to have to see is a clear upward dynamic. There have been a distinct absence of upward dynamics from lows, and we're going to have to see that progression of lower rally highs broken, and the most recent lower rally high is at $17, or really just above it. So at least a rally of a dollar and then that rally will have to hold, will be required to check the decline overall. When we try to put this in the perspective of the medium-term trend, well then the uptrend from the beginning of this year has most definitely been broken. Not only has the price encountered pulled back from 17, that also represents the region of the trend mean. So it is encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. And with it now just testing the $16 level, there is nothing on the chart to say that it isn't going to continue to go back down and test those lows around $14. Now, when we look at the weekly chart, the price has rallied from around the 14 level on three occasions. So it may offer at least temporary support on this occasion as well, but in the meantime, there is nothing on the chart to say that it isn't going to get down and test those levels, which could represent another additional decline overall. What we're definitely seeing in stock markets is that there is the prospect for inflation being priced in. And inflation is generally good for nominal stock prices, at least until government bond yields back up to a level that they become overwhelmingly attractive relative to the risk in stocks. But it was particularly interesting in here today that despite the volatility that we saw in many other asset classes, that the stock market was really quiet. At that, the S&P 500 was in mildly positive territory and has held on to the gains that it has put in over the last 6 weeks. The Dow Jones continues to hold the region of the or just below the 20,000 level. Certainly no dynamics there either. And the other market that really stood out today was oil. Oil prices have rallied off their low in here today, and they're continuing to hold the upper side of this underlying trading range overall. There is a great deal of, and still a great deal of debate about the extent to which oil prices can rally. That inventories at the Cushing terminal are at historic highs. That 2016 is going to represent the largest installation of solar panels in the US ever, that it represents a massive advance overall in well in excess of 100%, and that the cost of solar has come down even below wind. So there are it isn't just what's happening with OPEC that people are beginning to look at. And what we do not yet know for a fact is what the marginal cost of production is for US unconventional oil. And once we know what that is, then that will put a lid on oil prices. And certainly, there was some resistance above 70, $55. There is some support in the region of 53. This is a very tight range overall. Unless we see a sustained move below the 53 area, and most particularly if that is done in a dynamic fashion, that would suggest a failed upside break. In the absence of a failed upside break, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to at least some additional upside overall. There is some real winter weather beginning to come in to the lower 48 states in the US, and natural gas is exhibiting a little bit of sell or buy the news and sell the rumor that prices had rallied really very spectacularly since the middle of November, and now they are pulling back overall. Now, when we look at the just the main markets, we can see that there is a clear mix of red and green on that change column, and certainly at the stock markets where which have exhibited the greatest resilience overall. Whereas the relative strength of the dollar and the dollar index breaking very clearly away from what increasingly looks like a very short first step above the base, this continues to look like a bullish chart overall. And in the absence of an overwhelming downward dynamic, then we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.